From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 174 of Little Brother for the 26th of April, 2026. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started! The Richmond Times-Dispatch, the daily newspaper of Richmond, Virginia, recently published an exposé about the city's adoption of flock security cameras. Recognizing that there is a general public backlash about these devices, the mayor and the city council were spitballing ideas on how to persuade the public to see it their way. You know, to manufacture consent, as it were. I'm going to be talking a lot about consent in this episode, but it seems to me that if you have to manufacture it, that you are on the wrong side of an issue. A couple of episodes ago, I mentioned that the FCC was prohibiting the importation of new models of internet routers manufactured outside the U.S. Individual manufacturers have the ability to get themselves granted exemptions to this prohibition. As of this fortnight, Netgear have been the first to clear the bar for such an exemption. I can only presume that they cleared the bar because they cleared the check. Once upon a long time ago, there was a company that was primarily a bookseller. They still sell books, but the infrastructure that they built for online book sales turned them into a cloud computing giant. That is, of course, Amazon. In a similar vein, a company that once made textiles is now an investment powerhouse. That one, of course, is Berkshire Hathaway. Following in that template, shoe manufacturer Allbirds has recently seen a massive spike in their stock price as they are pivoting from the business of making shoes to the business of providing artificial intelligence services. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Time. In episode 172, I talked about how Sweden's digital ID system got hacked. This fortnight, it is France's turn. TechCrunch is reporting that the French government agency responsible for issuing and managing ID documents, L'Agence Nationale des Titres Sécurisés, or ANTS, got pwned. The attacker claims to have acquired 19 million records and was offering them for sale. ANTS have not confirmed this figure, but they have publicly disclosed the breach. For scale, the entire population of France is approximately 69 million people, So this is maybe a little more than one person out of four affected by this breach. It is believed that the records include full names, places and dates of birth, mailing and email addresses, and phone numbers. Society is a hypocrite. In matters of personal intimacy, we have a somewhat complex set of rules that ultimately boil down to one thing, which is whether or not you have consent to whatever activity you are involved in. We go to great lengths to educate our children that no means no. My generation was put through a very complex ritual of almost having to ask our partner's permission for each and every step when getting busy. Amongst the rules, we have laws. If someone fails to get that consent before engaging in physical activity with someone, it is a crime so heinous that typing its name on social media can lead to reputational hits, content deletion, and bans. Yes, I am talking about rape. So why am I talking about this on a podcast about technology? As a society, we have a consent problem. We do not apply these same rules to other parts of our lives. When we interact with law enforcement, there is a law on the books. It's one of the oldest ones in the land. It's called the Fourth Amendment. And it requires that the police do one of two things before taking certain actions to or with us. Either they can get a warrant, or work out probable cause, or they can get our consent. Numerous civil rights organizations, including the Electronic Frontier Foundation, have engaged in educational campaigns to explain to people that they have the right not to consent. There are even stickers that you can put on your car, your computer, your phone, your home that clearly state, "I do not consent to searches," or whatever's appropriate. Corporate entities are not bound by such rules. Let's take a car, for instance. When I get into my car, I am taking control of a 2-ton machine whose job, whose only job, and the only part of the social contract I'm interested in is to take me and whatever cargo I can fit into it from where I am to the place where I want to be in a reasonably expeditious manner. There is an implied consent that comes with my driver's license that when I get on the road, I'm going to follow the rules of the road. As it turns out, most of the people on the road follow most of the rules of the road most of the time, but I don't think anybody follows all of them all of the time. You think you're different? Do you drive the speed limit? That's one of them. There is not, however, any implied consent that I can be monitored. I did not consent to having myself viewed, listened to, or my driving behaviors transmitted to another party. In order to do that, we are presented with a document when we buy that car that if we actually took the time to read it, we'd still be sitting at the fucking dealership reading. This is not an accident. This is a deliberate effort to extract legal consent where no consent exists in fact. Further, there is no consent, implied or expressed, for my movements to be tracked. Those are not part of the rules of the road. That is a tortured interpretation of an idea. See, if I go for a drive, my car is recognizable. I know that. It's one of many that looks like it, sure, but it's got my specific combination of externally visible accessories. And of course, displayed on the front and rear is a unique identifier in the form of a license plate. Yes, my car can be easily uniquely identified, and this is intended to be part of the enforcement mechanism for the rules of the road that I did consent to when I sat in my car and pushed the start button, even if I don't follow all of those rules perfectly. So, the fact that one of my friends or enemies or whoever might spot my car and say, "Oh, that's Chuck's car," that's a thing that's been there all my life. What I did not consent to, and do not consent to, is the constant monitoring of my movements by a network of cameras, all talking to a central database, and noting the appearance and license plate of every car that passes them. It's invasive, and it needs to fuck off. What I did not consent to, and do not consent to, is the constant recording of my driving habits. How many G's did I pull going around a turn? How hard did I accelerate or brake? Or how closely did I follow the car in front of me? Oh, and just in case you are thinking that last one is not a thing that your car knows, adaptive cruise control, which, by the way, I fucking love, works by measuring the distance to the car in front of you. That data is available, and I consent to it being used by the cruise control, and I consent to it being used to warn me to brake, but I do not consent to it being shared, especially since it is not always right. In the next two segments, I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I did not consent to, and you shouldn't either, and probably haven't. One related to cars, the other to digital devices. Both of these, however, are driven by laws that were lobbied for by powerful interests who are trying to fuck us in various ways without our consent. Back in episode 157, I interviewed Alex Matthews of Restore the Fourth. During that interview, we talked about driver impairment monitoring and all of the ways that it could go wrong. Guess what? It's here. Not that you or I asked for it, but starting in model year 2027, all new cars sold in the U.S., you know, the land of the free, are going to be equipped with a camera that is monitoring your eye movements and infrared sensors that are detecting whether or not you are impaired. Now, you remember last segment how I said the distance measurement isn't always right? That sometimes the car decides to slow down or brake when using the cruise control because it thinks it sees something that's in the way? That's a really, really easy measurement to make. You send out a pulse of radio waves and you measure how long before it comes back. This is a technology that's been around since the 1940s called radar. It's fully mature, and the mistakes it makes are a long-standing, long-understood issue that is called clutter, and it's a result of how the real world works. Now, if a car can screw up a simple, a dead fucking simple measurement like that that we've known how to do for 50-plus years, how the fuck is it going to do on impairment? Lobbyists wanted this, and they even have a positive and laudable goal. So a couple of episodes back, I talked about ignition locks that were meted out to people who had been actually convicted of driving while intoxicated, under the influence, ability impaired, whatever the law calls it where you are. And I felt at the time, and I continue to feel, like, despite the what-the-fuck implementation of attaching it to a cloud service like they did in that particular episode, that this was a fully appropriate thing to do when the person whose car you are putting it on is someone who has been actually convicted of DWI as a way to let them drive so they can get on with their lives when they are sober, and preventing it when they aren't. For the record, I don't fucking drink. Like anything. At all. Ever. I do not consent to having my state of mind assessed by a machine. On top of that, I believe the manner that they have chosen to implement this may be a task that exceeds the threshold of what can be done by an onboard computer. Guess what that means? That's right, more cloud computing and more centralized surveillance. Just what we fucking needed. We need to talk about a very dangerous idea that is making its way around through various state legislatures, and it has now reached the U.S. Congress as well. And actually, as of a couple of days ago, I hear that it has started to infect Europe as well. The proponents of this idea are calling it age verification. I refuse to use that phrase to describe it for the same reason I refuse to use the phrase conspiracy theory. It's not the truth. I am not inclined to use this name because even though it is completely capable of serving the purpose of verifying a person's age, if that were truly the goal, the placement would be different. Some folks are calling it identity verification, and I think that's probably closer to the mark, but still incomplete. So, what's wrong here? Riding on a fire hose of lobbying money, legislation is being proposed in state after state, and as I said a minute ago, the federal Congress, which will require that your computer's operating system verify your age when your account is created by putting it at the operating system level. It does not matter what online services you intend to use this computer with. For that matter, you might even be one of those weirdos like I am that has some computers that never go online. But none of that matters. Your computer needs to verify your age. Now, the law that got passed in California that I spoke about a couple episodes ago before this shit started spreading is probably the least malevolent variation on the theme. It was, in my opinion, a test balloon. Or maybe if we're going to use a metaphor, we should call it a warning shot. All that was required by that law was that the operating system ask you your age when the account is created. You do not have to prove that the answer you give is the truth. In the New York version of the law, which has not yet been passed, thank you very much, you won't be able to just attest your age. You will actually have to prove it. And you'll do that by presenting your computer with your ID. And there it fucking is. This right here sets the stage for the state to decide who can and cannot use a personal computer. That may not be the intent. That's certainly not the stated intent, but that is where it will go. Mark my words. As soon as you are required to prove your identity to use a computer, that's going to need to be verified by a central authority. If the operators of that central authority ever wanted to stop you from using a computer, all they have to do is tell their systems to decline your ID. On top of that, anonymity's gone. You can't do anything online, or in this case, even offline, without your computer ratting you the fuck out. This is not acceptable. The computer that was sitting in front of me as I typed this script, and the other computer that's sitting in front of me right now as I speak to you, those are my computers. I paid for them. They're my property. Their loyalty needs to be to me. That's part of the deal. I will take care of them. I will decorate and equip them in a manner of my choosing. I will keep them in good repair, and believe you me, I can keep a computer going a long-ass time. And they will compute for me. They do not get to rat me out. I do not believe that the goal is age verification. I do not believe that at all. It is my belief that the goal is to throttle and monitor our use and to make sure that we can no longer use technology without someone else's permission and without someone else knowing. This is a threat to our personal sovereignty, and we need to kill it now. More on this in the next section. The Intercept, amongst others, has reported in the past fortnight about how social media giant Reddit have been hauled into a grand jury proceeding in Washington, D.C. in an effort to reveal who the real-world owners of some accounts are on their systems. For those not familiar with the site, Reddit accounts can be created in a completely pseudonymous way so that nobody actually knows who is the real person behind the account. If the account owner has been careful enough, it's theoretically possible to be too much trouble to track down. So why did they get hauled in? Well, it seems that the pseudonymous Redditors that they are looking to track down said some things online that hurt ICE's fifis. Yep, somebody had the unpolished, unmitigated, profoundly uncouth gall to criticize the government. Fuck off already! This is, of course, exactly the reason why pseudonymous access and anonymous access to social media is critical, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast. The First Amendment is not a suggestion, but the present government seems to have some inappropriate ideas on the topic. Okay, how about some other news on OPSEC? Last episode, I talked about the vulnerability that exists when you use notifications with Signal Private Messenger. Since then, I have some news on that. The FBI had exploited this on a suspect's iPhone to reveal the messages that that person had received. Now, on the one hand, it is worth knowing that the specific vulnerability that was exploited was particular to Apple iOS, so iPhones basically, notification messages thrown to the operating system in Linux, Android, and maybe some other operating systems as well, Windows, macOS, I'm not sure, are not known at this time to be stashing the content of the notifications in any place persistent. So there's not a known risk of them being uploaded or searched or stored or any of that. Now, for their part, Apple have issued an update that fixes the problem in their platform as well. As such, it's probably safe at this time to turn notifications on. However, something that you should keep in mind is that even if the operating system is safe and doing what it's expected to do and is properly maintaining its loyalty to you, good luck with that. You are still allowing information to get out of the secure envelope of the Signal Private Messenger, and it wouldn't take much of a well-meaning change to the operating system to change the landscape. Also, just as a reminder, if you are in any Signal group chats, you are depending on all of the participants in that group chat to have the same level of operational security that you have. Otherwise, you should assume that your messages are public. The worst OPSEC in the group defines the OPSEC of the entire group. If you want a high-profile example of exactly what I'm talking about, just look at SignalGate. Back to the present matter, what I have personally opted to do, and what I'm going to offer as a suggestion to my listeners, is to let Signal tell me who has messaged me, but not what they have sent. That seems like a good compromise. You really can't be too careful these days. As usual, we'll end the show with the fail of the fortnight. Companies operating in the pharmaceutical field need to comply with regulations from the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, as well as their functional equivalents in other countries where their products may be sold. It doesn't matter if this product is a pill, tincture, injectable, doesn't matter if it's prescription or over-the-counter. From time to time, the FDA inspects facilities where pharmaceuticals are made, and if they find something significantly wrong, it becomes part of the public record in the form of a warning letter. The FDA calls these warning letters Form 483, but I don't know why, since it's not really a form, but that's not the point. There's a lot of documentation focused on making sure that drugs are safe and effective. Oh, by the way, did I mention that cosmetics are drugs, especially if they treat some kind of a skin condition? As I said a minute ago, over-the-counter still counts, so I told you all of that so I could tell you about a 483 letter that was published recently about Purely Cosmetics Lab. The FDA wrote a scathing 483 letter on them recently, but there was one particular paragraph that stood out as very relevant to this podcast. Here it is. Quote, "If you use AI as an aid in document creation, you must review the AI-generated documents to ensure that they were accurate and actually compliant. Your failure to do so is a violation." And then they cite a section of the regulations. And it continues, "Over-reliance on artificial intelligence for your drug manufacturing operations was also documented during the inspection. For example, the FDA inspectors found that you had not conducted process validation prior to distribution of your drug products as required," and there's another citation of regulations, "and informed you as such. You replied that you were not aware of the legal requirement because the AI agent you used never told you that it was required." Excuse me? You trusted a spicy autocomplete to do your compliance work? Seriously? So, this wasn't the worst thing they found, but it was the thing most relevant to this podcast. I've talked before about lawyers using AI to produce legal briefs only to find out that the cases they cited were AI hallucinations, and this is essentially the same thing going on here. And I guess we should expect more of it until people learn not to blindly trust the AI. They're great for research, but you should always check their work. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the Helix Foundation for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Azriel, Julie Bernstein, Thriller at Play, and David for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Punt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 175 will drop on May 10th. Stay safe and be well. About the city's adoption of the Agence Nationale des Titres Sécuritaires. In matters of personal... Why am I still popping the mic when it's way the fuck up there? That clearly state, I do not concert. In order to do that, we are presented with a document when we buy that car that... If we actually took the time to read it, we'd still be at the fucking... So why did they get hauled in? Well...